Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. We got 24 and a half more minutes of live radio here. If you want to send us an email, the address is comments@afr.net. comments@afr.net. Any emails need to be K-Love emails. That's what we call them here, which means they need to be positive and encouraging.
Do we get any of those? Do we get any?
We do get some. Okay. Yeah. Positive and encouraging emails. That's what we're seeking here. Ray Pritchard's in Kansas City. Good to see you again, Ray.
Hey, Tim.
And let me ask you this. So the Chiefs, they've already arrived in Las Vegas.
They are in Las Vegas. Right. They're practicing at the Raiders facility. Isn't right, Steve?
Yes, that's what I heard.
They're like bitter rivals. The Raider Steve Jordahl here with his black, his Raider black.
Yes, sir.
What are the Raiders doing letting the Chiefs practice at their facility? That's just
did you guys watch
football blasphemy.
Did you guys watch The Blind Side? There's bodies buried under their practice field.
Oh, man.
They're probably true.
The Chiefs. Well, anyway, Wesley Wildman with me. So, Steve, Wesley, Ray, and I'm Tim, and we got some more stuff to talk about this half hour. I wanted to revisit the breaking story, which has to do with former President Trump. He said he needed to have – he asked for – a ruling about whether he had immunity from prosecution for what happened on January the 6th, and the appellate court, the federal appellate court in D.C., which is the court right underneath the Supreme Court, today unanimously said, no, you do not have immunity from being prosecuted. So what does that mean? Well, we're going to now go to a segment called Ask the Lawyer.
Nice.
And Jenna Ellis, we don't have any music there. We should have.
That would have been it. We'll come back. We'll have to add that in. Jenna, we've got that segment.
What lawyers do I know that we can get on real quick?
We've got that segment, and not to take us too far away, but I want to create a segment one day with Common Grounds with the liberals. Like shutting the border down. They're coming on board now.
Oh, the liberals are saying the same things we're saying. Shut the border down like Al Sharpton.
Not all of them, but some of them are coming around.
Right. Well, I don't want too much common ground with liberals.
No.
Then I'll begin to wonder about myself.
That's right. Yeah.
So Jenna Ellis is with us. Jenna is host of Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio and a constitutional lawyer, and she joins us now. Good morning, Jenna.
Good morning. And I think we need, for that segment, which we absolutely need probably like weekly Ask the Lawyer, we need like the Law and Order, the dumb.
Yeah, that's it.
Maybe that's what we'll get.
That's it.
Get that
yeah.
I've watched enough Law and Order to know that the detectives who go on to ask people about the crime, the guy that they always are talking to is walking loading boxes.
Right.
Have you ever noticed this? This is like a cliche for Law and Order. The two detectives go to talk to somebody about the crime, and the guy they're talking to doesn't stop working. He continues to load boxes.
Why do you do that to us, myself and everyone? Because I don't notice that. Now I won't be able to unnotice
that. Well, most people would be like, what in the world? The cops are here to interview me about a murder? Good night. What? I don't even know what you're talking about. Yeah. No, they just act like, hey,
know why that is? Because it's mostly in New York City. It's just another day there.
You mean a duly murder?
Noted. Yeah.
Murder? Right. Murder investigation?
Yeah, I'll do this for myself. Duly noted.
Oh, Bill, the second time they've been out here this week. Talk to me about a murder.
New York
investigation.
City.
All right. So, Jenna, on a serious note, the former president, Donald Trump, has what were his attorneys asking for with respect to this January 6th case?
Yeah, so this ruling answered a question that appeals courts have never addressed, which is this: can former presidents be held accountable by the criminal justice system for things they did while in office? And his lawyers answered no. Presidential immunity should mean that he is immune from any sort of alert of a lawsuit or prosecution by the government for acts that happened while he was in office. And then, of course, the government was arguing, no, he can be accountable for things that were not presidential acts, for things that would have been he would have been doing as basically a private citizen. And this parallels legislative immunity. So, for example, we already have on the books that legislators cannot be sued for their position on policy issues. Speaking about common ground with the liberals, there's not much. But if I don't like what a Democrat senator or representative does, I can't sue them for how they vote. They have legislative immunity. So this case, I think, was trying to parse a very narrow question of whether the alleged acts, and I know a lot of our listeners have a lot of very strong feelings about the case itself, all of that, but the question before the court was, can the president, can the acts that were in his private capacity as a citizen, as a candidate for office, is he able to be held accountable for that? Or were those acts under the banner of his executive office? And I think personally, in listening to this argument, based on the arguments before the court here made the right decision, because we can't have just wide sweeping zero accountability for anything a president does while in office.
Right.
Because obviously then presidents could just commit crimes willy-nilly and not be held accountable and have almost like a king, right? But the issue that I think Trump's lawyer should appeal on is not that they just have broad, wide-sweeping immunity, but rather were the acts that are alleged that are being prosecuted, were those actually as a private citizen, or were they official acts in his capacity as president? Because those rightly should be covered under presidential immunity. And I don't personally think that his lawyers argued that fine point clearly enough to the court.
Okay, let me ask you this. There is something, there's something called presidential immunity. And I would probably expect that governors have the same thing. Because you can't have a president function if he's always being able to be sued by people and having to make court appearances and hire lawyers and such about things that he does in his official capacity as chief executive officer of America, for example, as the president is. Presidential immunity traditionally covers what?
Covers official acts of the office of the president. And so to put this in kind of an analogy that I think everybody can understand, we have all had jobs and we've all been employees, right? And so there are acts that you take as an official employee in the scope of your job performance. And then you go home and you're a regular private citizen. You go to church, you go to the store, you might go to the mall on the weekends. Those things are in your private capacity. And so, for example, if you are an employee that is driving a company car to an event and you get in a car accident, that could be a work-related injury. But if you are driving your own car to church and you get an accident, you can't say, well, this is covered by workman's comp, right? Because those are two very distinct events. So in the same way, was the conduct that President Trump allegedly took, was that in the course of his employ, basically, as the elected chief officer of the United States in that capacity, or was it as a private citizen?
Okay. So now, one other question. I know Wesley has a question. You're going to ask the lawyer, too?
That's right. Ask the lawyer.
Remember, ching, 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 ching. You've got to consider that. Huh? They don't tell you that till you get the bill in the mail. A lot of them don't. They don't tell you that.
No, they don't.
Yeah. But they also get the, hey, my uncle told me that I could call you. You go to church with him. I need some legal advice. Lawyers get that, too, to be fair. Right? So I want to ask you, Jenna, So now that this has been decided by the federal appellate court, which is in D.C., which is just below the United States Supreme Court, Trump's lawyers will appeal this to the Supreme Court. My guess is that the United States Supreme Court will support what the lower court has said, and thus they'll probably do that pretty quickly, I would think. And thus the judge in this case, the federal judge in D.C., will then declare another trial date. Would that be what's going to happen in the next 48, 72 hours, you think, or not?
Well, so it's the clock here is interesting because there is actually an intermediate step before an appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. Trump's lawyers could appeal to what's called an en banc hearing, which so this was just a panel of judges from the D.C. Circuit Court, not the full bench. So he could appeal to have an en banc hearing. If they agree to that, that would be a preliminary measure. But he has, I think, about 45 days or so to do that. And regardless of whether or not they take the case up, if they do, that delays the clock a little. But then after that, he could appeal to the Supreme Court. That may take a little bit of time. So this may push this out even into summer before another trial date could be set. And obviously, from the campaign standpoint, Trump has been very clear that he's trying to push this out until past the election. So he's not spending all of his campaign time in a courtroom.
I'm going to tell you something. Those en banc hearings, you can throw out your bag if you're not careful, because I've done that a couple of times. You know what I'm saying? En banc, that was a lame joke, I know. En banc hearings. Well, so we'll see what happens here, but this is big news. And so Trump will appeal to the Supreme Court to see what they say. My guess is they're going to support the lower court. Then the D.C. judge will issue a new trial date coming up probably sometime in the summer, I would guess. I don't know. All right. Thank you, Jenna. We appreciate it very much. Take care.
Thank you. Great to speak with you guys.
Okay. Thank you. That's Jenna Ellis joining us. We decided to have a lawyer on, Steve, to tell us.
Not that we didn't trust you.
Right. Believe me, if you were counting on me for legal advice, you're up a creek.
Steve, you ever heard of an en banc hearing?
Yes, I have.
Okay. You ever been to one?
No, but I've reported on several of them.
What was the last en banc hearing you reported on, Steve? What was the drama there?
It would probably have been a Ninth Circuit California court case.
But it's not. You can't remember.
So many I can't remember.
Ray, you ever been to an en banc hearing?
No, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night.
Or
that was pretty good.
That's the best I got.
It's pretty good.
Or, what did you say, Wesley? Or for me, if you were asking me, my answer would be not that I'm aware of.
If you were at an en banc hearing, you didn't even know it.
That's right.
Huh? All right, Steve, over to you.
All right, Super Bowl weekend, next weekend. And I just have to play you something that came up. This is not news necessarily, but this is just good fun, okay? I loved this story. So you know how back in the day when a quarterback came off the field, sometimes they'd pick up an actual telephone and call up to the and then talk with somebody up in the press box?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, this is Joe Montana talking about just keep in mind when this starts, this is him talking about the phone on the sideline. Go ahead, cut 11, Brett.
I don't know what made me do it, but one day I hung up and I'm sitting there going, I wonder if these things call out. So I pick up the phone and I hit, what do you do normally? Hit 9, right? Gives you an outside line. I hit 9. Got a dial tone. I dial my house.
And the phone would ring. And I'd pick it up and it'd be Joe. I go, what are you doing?
I go, hey, how you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? Who is it? What are you doing? Where are you calling me from?
He goes, I'm calling you. I'm calling you to say I love you. And I go, oh, I love you. How are you calling? He goes, they have an outside line. I check in every stadium.
I go, on the sideline phone. I found out that it calls. So I thought I'd give you a call since I'm just sitting here waiting to go on the field.
That's
so great.
You need stories like that to bring everything back. That they're human,
right?
They've got jokes, and they think like they have a sense of
humor. So Joe Montana's on the sideline punching number 9.
Yeah. Yeah, he checks it every day.
Get an outline. He's calling his wife.
Punched 9, and he got a dial tone, so I called home.
First of all, if you're under 30, you don't even know what hit nine for an outside line means. Have never heard a dial tone in your life, right?
Probably.
Oh, yeah.
That's funny, Stokely.
Well, also, have you noticed 800 numbers have gone away, too, haven't they?
No, not all of them. Some of them. But they're not, to your point, to help you out here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Help me out. I'm open.
They're not all gone, no. But yes, to your point, there's less of them now.
Because you don't need an 800 number.
That's right.
Because you're, huh?
That's right.
800 right. numbers used right. to be toll-free when you got a telephone bill. Your monthly telephone bill showed you had long distance, and this was to avoid long
right.
distance charges.
Right.
But now with cell phone plans, you don't have long distance.
That's right. Yeah, there's still a
or collect calls. Remember collect calls?
Yeah.
Do they, okay, Steve, do collect calls even exist anymore in 2024? I don't
know. You have to get an operator to do a collect call, don't you?
I don't even know how you get an operator anymore.
How do you get an operator, right?
Well, now, I was with y'all on the dial tone because I do remember that, but now you've lost me on collect calls.
You've never heard of that?
I'm 34. Never heard of it.
Okay.
It's a generational thing.
Yeah, so a collect call.
This is how you got through college back in the old days.
Do we need to save this for trivia? Are we good? We can cover this now?
Okay, we can explain this to you.
A collect call is if you wanted to dial long distance because it costs extra, right?
Okay.
But you didn't have the money?
Right.
You tell the operator, I'd like to make a collect call to my dad. And so when the phone rang, dad picks it up, and the operator says, will you accept a collect call from Wesley Wildman?
Okay.
And, of course, dad would say, no, I don't want to talk to the guy. but if you said yes, then the charges go to your dad, not to
you. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Never did that.
How that worked, yeah. Collect calls, yeah. I made many. We all have, right?
Right.
I remember many. When.
That's how we got through college.
Right, exactly.
The last I remember of the phone age was that
you mean
was,
prior to cell phone?
Prior to cell phone. The last I remember was being able to pick up a landline in one room and being able to listen to the person that's on the landline in another room.
Party line, right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's an invasion of privacy.
That's exactly what that is.
Right.
But if it's your 12-year-old sister,
right. Well,
you wanted to
I
give
understand.
Her a hard time.
Right. Then you listen to what she's saying about you.
Whatever.
Talking to her boyfriend or whatever.
The other one,
you can provoke them.
The other one is a 411 call. You ask for information. I'd like to find, I think it was 411. I'd like to, can you give me the number for Joe's grocery store downtown? And the operator, an actual person would.
I have done that before.
Would look it up, right?
Yeah. 411, you're right. 411 would give you the number of whatever business or home you would want. You're
not
right.
401K.
Now you don't even do that anymore. You just, with the cell phones, you just.
Type
you
it
either have
browser.
It. You have it common places you use. You have them in your phone book in your cell phone, or you can Google it or whatever, and the phone number pops up for you. It's amazing.
How
things have changed. The world's changed.
You can Google any phone number you need in a matter of seconds.
Yep.
All right,
Steve.
By the way,
do you know any more about the storm that hit your former state out there in California?
I haven't heard anything.
The whole state ravaged,
but yeah,
what I saw.
I haven't looked at I just didn't bother to look this morning, but let me just look it up real quick. It was a monster storm that came in and hit the state, and they were underwater for quite a while.
What part of the state?
Well,
pretty much the whole
state.
Thing,
Further south you got, the worse it seemed to be.
I don't remember personally anything quite like that. When they had, you have a major weather storm that went from northern California, may go to Oregon too, I don't know, all the way down to San Diego.
Hmm.
And it's just massive rain and flooding. That part of the country is not built for a lot of rain at one time.
Okay? No. Well,
I mean, it runs off.
This is the second one in a row. This, what do they call these cyclone bombs?
I was watching last night. They were showing like cars and refrigerators floating down the roads in Hollywood, you know, in Los Angeles area.
So there, the Bay Area. This is how I fell in love with radio.
Yeah,
I remember specifically a couple things, but one of the things I remember was a night I was living in Scotts Valley, California, near the Santa Cruz, in the mountains. And there was a storm. And KGO Radio in San Francisco was the big station of the moment. It broadcast everywhere. And people would call in because there was a storm going on. There's flooding going on. And you couldn't get the lines were out, so you couldn't get to someone's home. But for some reason, people did communicate with the radio station. And they said, this is John. I live in whatever town. I just want to let my family know that I'm okay. This is Susan. Have you anybody heard what's going on Spruce Street in Ben Lomond? Because that's how they connected with one another. I thought, what a great service.
Sure.
I just fell in love with radio, that and a couple other instances. But that there have been storms like this that flood are not uncommon in Northern California.
So I'm completely unaware of what happened over there. So is it primarily rain or waves?
Rain and wind.
Rain, okay.
Rain and wind. At least three people died.
But not just 15-mile-an-hour winds. We're talking hurricane force
70
winds.
To 90 to over 100 of some of the
mountains. It's a big deal. It's a major storm, the whole state of California.
Yeah.
And the people in South Louisiana say, welcome to our world.
So as of 6 minutes ago, 29 million people were under flood alerts from California to Arizona.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. Ray, are you familiar with the country singer,
Toby Keith?
Toby Keith.
Toby Keith, yeah.
Did you see where he passed away?
I did. What a great legend. They're saying rest in peace, legend. What a great singer. And he did after 9/11 that became so popular?
I don't think we can say it on AFR.
Anyway, that one that became
something
so popular.
Put the boot in the booty or something like that of your enemy. He was a very patriotic guy.
Yes.
He had like 30 number one hits on the country charts. Popular back, the 90s, 2000s, that kind of thing. Toby Keith passed away. He's 62 years old, cancer.
62 of stomach cancer.
He's been sick for 2 or 3 years.
Somebody posted him singing in 2023, earlier last year, 2023. He knew he had stomach cancer. He knew he was probably going to die, and he was performing at looked like the Grand Ole Opry. Don't let the old man in. And it's a story about dying. It was very emotional and very well done.
He was quoted as saying during this cancer battle, he leaned into his faith.
Yes.
Meaning his Christian faith.
Yes.
He leaned into his Christian faith and found strength from his relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
From Oklahoma. I don't know what part of Oklahoma, but
Clinton. Clinton, Oklahoma.
Clinton, Oklahoma.
Where he's born.
Yeah. Sad news there. Toby Keith, 63.
Extremely patriotic.
Yeah, exactly.
62 years old.
His song could have been a cowboy.
All know. Even if you weren't a country fan, that. You knew that one.
Yeah, everybody knows that song.
Yeah.
Could have been a cowboy. Should have been a cowboy. All right, Steve, we got about a minute, or you got 30 seconds. You got anything? Don't end on a depressing note. We need something positive, something good.
All right, let me just give you the latest.
You want to sing?
Yeah, I do know. The latest from our best never lie headline from Always True from the Babylon Bee. Chicago residents, Ray, they burned down their CVS store to the ground to protest its closure.
That probably happened over the weekend up there.
They do such a good job with those. They could almost stop at the headline and not even give you content below. Although they go to the trouble to help us out by providing some little bit of commentary there below, obviously in humor.
All right, so thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Thanks to Wesley and Ray and Brent, our producer, Jenna Ellis, Chris Woodward. And we thank you for listening to the program today. We hope you have a wonderful afternoon and evening. Keep listening to AFR. We'll see you back here tomorrow.